nationwide. We bring you latest current issues, discussions and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Hello, good evening to you, and thank you so much for being part of Nationwide this evening. We are going to be discussing about the efforts to boost food security in the country. My name is Annie Martin, and you are listening to the first hour of Nationwide, coming to life from Juba. And South Sudan is facing a severe food security crisis, with over 7.7 million people experiencing high level of acute food insecurity through what is known as the IPC Phase 3 or worse between April and July this year. The Ministry of Agriculture and Food Security, together with other partners, have stepped up efforts by providing advanced farming tools, which includes tractors and other farm implements to help farmers with cultivation. What are the main drivers of this food insecurity in the country? Joining me to discuss all this plus many more is Honorable Lily Albina Cole, the Deputy Minister of Agriculture and Food Security. And she joins me right now here in the studio. Good evening, and thank you so much for honoring our invitation today.
Good evening, and thank you so much for having me, Radio Mariah.
Okay, and our lines will be open to you later on. If you want to ask any question about what the Ministry of Agriculture and Food Security is doing to improve food security in the country, please do so via our lines 0912067879 or 0912067929. Do send us your comment to our SMS number 0912177141. Those are all our lines. You can get in touch and ask the Deputy Minister of Agriculture and Food Security. Yes, Honorable Lily, first of all, begin by telling us what is the status of farming this year, 2025? I know in other places people already, the first harvest is done, and possibly people are now heading either harvesting the second season or they are about to begin harvesting.
Yeah, thank you. I think the status of harvest this year, hopefully the outlook looks better than last year. We know in the Green Belt already they harvested once, and the harvest for the second season is also underway. In Bahra Ghazal, they will start soon. But so far, from reports we are hearing, the crops are doing well. And also the same goes for Upper Nile. Mm-hmm. If all goes well, hopefully the production this year may be slightly higher. What we also see in most parts of Bahra Ghazal is that we have less floods. Of course, still we don't know if, but at least compared to last year, by this time, I think most of the states were flooded. Mm-hmm. This year the floods delayed, which is also good for the crops.
So, meaning, is the country expecting more yields this year?
Yes, but is it enough to close the gap? No.
Okay. And is South Sudan having the potential to feed its own people and even feed the region?
And feed the world.
And feed the world.
South Sudan has a huge potential. South Sudan has big arable land, very fertile land, which is underutilized. It's less than 40% that is cultivated. South Sudan has the rains. South Sudan has the river. South Sudan has the underground water. Mm-hmm. So the potential for South Sudan is enormous. It's enormous.
And
it's not yet explored.
Why are we then over-dependent on handouts?
Well, it is the state that we found ourselves in. Right from our independence. You know, South Sudan was never developed. South Sudan was left behind when we were part of Sudan. So the agriculture development in South Sudan was very minimal. The other challenges, of course, like the lack of infrastructure, is also a very big problem. So from the onset, we inherited many, many problems, as in all the other sectors. Agriculture sector also inherited those problems. Now, as a country, we are struggling. There are infrastructural challenges. There are also challenges brought by climate change, you know, the conflicts here and there.
Okay, and like I said in my introduction, and you are part of the authors of this IPC. In the last report, they said that nearly 8 million South Sudanese are food insecure. What are the main driving factors for these figures?
Well, first of all, we need to understand what is IPC. IPC is a tool used to understand the current situation or the current status of food security. And it is also a tool that helps us as policymakers and humanitarian workers to determine what is the gap and what is the need. IPC also, when they determine that a group of people or a sample that they look at, their threshold is always 20%. Mm-hmm. So if they are looking at a group of 1,000 people, if a group of more than 1,000 people, mm-hmm. if 20% of that group that they are looking at is food insecure, then the entire group is food insecure. For example, if they go to a county and they do the assessment and 20% of the population in that county is food secure, then the entire county is food secure. However, the food insecurity, the gaps are there. We acknowledge it for the obvious reasons. You know, the displacement, the internal displacement, because sometimes of conflicts here and there has been a big problem. The climate change has affected us. We have seen it over the years. Either we have severe floods, or to the other extreme, we have severe droughts. This has been, and also the pressure on the limited resources that we have, especially with the conflict with Sudan, where we have a huge number of refugees coming into the country, especially in the states up north.
Yes, and before we go into what efforts is the government doing to support farmers in this country, talking about the issue of flood, what impact is the flood having on the crops in those areas, like, for example, Pibor or Greater Pibor and parts of Jonglei, parts of Unity State, and these states where floods have been affected? Because we understand, according to UN OCHA, nearly 1 million people have been affected by flood.
Yes, no, floods have a huge impact, and the sector that is hit the most with flooding is the agriculture sector, because once there's flooding, there's no farming. Once there's flooding, it means all the crops in the fields are destroyed. There's no harvest. So yes, it is a very sad situation, but this is what has happened. So apart from the displacement and the destruction, it's a complete destruction of livelihoods. So people move, their houses are destroyed, and also they have nothing to feed on because crops are destroyed.
Yes, and now let's look at government effort to support farmers in this country. What exactly, in practical terms, is the government doing to support farmers, whether it being individual farmers, organized farmers, cooperative? What kind of support are you as a government giving to them?
You know, as a government or as a Minister of Agriculture, I always say it is not feasible to support individual farmers financially. What we do is we do policies and we try to create an environment where farmers get the support that they need. In an ideal situation, we are supposed to have the Agriculture Bank of South Sudan. And it is the banks that subsidize and that fund farming activities. As a government, we try our best, but as much as we try, we are unable to cover the entire farming population in the country for the obvious reasons.
Reasons like?
Reasons that I said it's not easy to farm individual farmers. There are always institutions that do that.
Right.
Also, the lack of funds is a major thing. The economic downturn that globally and also South Sudan is part of that has been a challenge. So we also try as a government to, through our partners, the World Bank, the African Development Bank, we are doing a lot to help farmers, especially in the rural areas.
Right. And you're talking about the Agricultural Bank. Many farmers have really expressed their frustration at the Agricultural Bank of South Sudan, or like you said, which is supposed to be giving loans, seeds, and other inputs to farmers, as well as technical guidance to improve skills and production. But all this is not working. Has the Deputy Minister of Agriculture and Food Security, with all the challenges this bank is experiencing, how is it impacting the ability to adequately finance farmers who will wish to go and borrow money from them?
Let me give you just a brief history about the Agriculture Bank. Agriculture Bank is not yet fully established in South Sudan. You know what happened right after our secession? What we had then here was just a branch of the Agriculture Bank of Sudan then.
Yeah.
And so as a country now, yes, we got the Agriculture Bank. It is registered. It is licensed. But we are yet to make it fully functional to do what it's supposed to do. Efforts are now underway, the Ministry of Agriculture and Food Security. We are talking with the Agriculture Bank so that we sit so that the bank can start implementing the policies of the Ministry of Agriculture and Food Security. Now, this is not realized yet. Mm. And until it is realized, we won't be able to say for sure that the bank is ready to now serve the farmers. I know the bank has been trying.
Yeah.
But also the bank, as all the other entities, also they are facing challenges that hopefully together with the Minister of Agriculture, with the Minister of Finance, we will sit and come out with a better way to make the bank reach as many people as possible and then offer the technical support and the financial support as well.
And early this year, we understand that there were some tractors that were brought and they were distributed to the states. Could you tell us what impact are these tractors having on farming in these states?
Well,
first of all, how many tractors were brought?
The number is limited because the contractor is bringing the tractors in phases. So the first phase, what we received was about 100 tractors.
Mm-hmm.
The plan of the Ministry of Agriculture and Food Security is to put these structures in agromechanical centers so that in potential agricultural areas or counties at the rural level, so that cooperatives and farmers are able to access these structures at an affordable rate.
Okay.
Our vision is really to help farmers get access to mechanization, but to take the burden of owning mechanization from the farmers. What we have done now as a ministry, we identified our national schemes that are partially functioning. That is the Rangdura scheme in Upper Nile, the Abu Rais scheme in Northern Bahr al-Ghazal, and also we want to revive the Jebel Ladu scheme here in Central Equatoria.
Mm.
So these three will be the sites for the agromechanical centers, whereby the tractors will be fully serviced and they will be used by the scheme, but also at the same time be used by the farming communities around. Hopefully, in the long run, when we have enough tractors and when we have a very functional agriculture bank, yes, we will be able to have tractors that farmers can afford to even buy by installment. But our view is to make sure that in each county, at least, we have an agromechanical center that will help. Because normally, mechanization is not just about having a tractor. There's a lot of education. There's a lot of extension services. I always tell people, when you own a tractor, you are going mechanized throughout that you are farming, not just only preparing the land. It means you need to have threshers. You need to have combined harvesters. Because you are going to farm big land. Yes.
So these tractors, the 100 of them, have they arrived in the country?
And yes, they are physically here, and some for the Northern Bahr al-Ghazal, for the Abu Rais scheme, they actually were taken. They are physically now.
How many tractors is each state supposed to get? How many state?
Well, this is what we did. The schemes got more, and then what we did also, we gave some states about three, some states two, all the states to just start the agromechanical center.
Okay.
So this is what we did because the number is limited. So you will find some states, maybe 2-3. The states that have the schemes like Upper Nile and other Mahrakazal know the state will not get any additional tractors because they can make use of those sponsored schemes. The other states, yes, we did. Western Bahrakazal, Lakes, for example, Eastern Equatoria, Central Equatoria, each of them got between 2-3 tractors.
Okay. And let us talk about some of these funded projects by your partners. Mm. How many projects are so far being funded by your partners? Because why I'm asking, many people have had a lot of grants being given to you as a government, but we don't see any impact. One example is in August last year, there was a grant of about $46.2 million that was approved by the African Development Bank to boost South Sudan's agricultural productivity, and its implementation runs from last year up to 2030, which is a 6-year project in 9 counties and 32 payams, and that's in 4 states of Bahrakazal, Eastern Equatoria, Central Equatoria State, and Jonglei State. Where are we with this kind of projects?
You know, these African Development Bank or World Bank or IFAD funded projects, yes. These are projects that are meant to improve agriculture and to do a lot in agricultural development. But these funds, although they are meant for South Sudan and they are meant for the development of agriculture sector in South Sudan, don't come directly to the Ministry of Agriculture and Food Security. This is one fact that because you say the grants were given to you, yes, to us, but not directly.
It goes to who?
It goes to a third-party implementing partner. And in this, especially African Development Bank and World Bank, most of these funds go to FAO, UN FAO.
Yeah.
UN FAO is our main partner. And so they implement these projects. But of course, we do it together with, they do it together with the Ministry of Agriculture and Food.
So they don't trust the government in handling the funds?
Well, this is the approach that they are undertaking now.
Okay.
For us, our concern is that since these are meant to boost and to develop agriculture, the Ministry of Agriculture and Food Security needs to be on the driver's seat in all the implementation aspects of the project. Now, the way it is working, we work very closely with FAO. We work in the design of the projects. We are there in the implementation of the projects. We go to the fields together.
Supervision?
Supervision. A lot of capacity building is also taking place because a lot of our employees, a lot of our staff are part and parcel of the implementation itself. But as far as the funds are concerned, no.
Okay. And through the design, the supervision of this, some of this project, which one can you say as a deputy minister that this has gone successfully, one of the projects?
No, most of the projects are going successfully. All of them, you know, because with African Development Bank, we used to have BREF funds. This is Build Resilience for Food and Nutrition Security. Is long.
Yeah.
And it was implemented really well in about 4 states, 7 counties across the country. The African Development Bank also now have what we call the CRAFT, mm-hmm. Climate Resilient Agri-Food Systems Transformation. This is also another project that is taking place in 5 states and in 9 counties. It is going on very well. And we have the AMVET. I'm just giving you the abbreviation.
Yes.
It's also another very important project. It's taking place in 3 states and 5 counties. The impact is there, unless when you go deep, when you visit the rural areas, when you visit the payams, when you visit the counties, and you talk to the real people and you see them and you see how their livelihoods have changed. World Bank, on the other hand, is also funding a lot of projects. We have with World Bank, we have the project that recently ended, the ELRP, the Emergency Locust Response Project. This one is also in 5 states and in 10 counties, and you know it happens because of the surge of desert locust some years back.
Yeah.
And we, through this project, we are able to have many a very good infrastructure. A whole entomology lab was put with the state-of-the-art equipment. It is there. Now we, and this project is implemented by FAO and UNOPS.
Yeah.
Because I said FAO, but FAO has the majority of the projects that are implemented. But UNOPS is there. UNDP is also implementing some of this project. Under World Bank also we have the RALP, the Resilient Agricultural Livelihood Project. This one is taking place in 7 states and in 13 counties. Together with the Ministry of Gender, we are doing what we called South Sudan Productive Safety Net Project, SNSOP. This one is another huge project. It's taking place in 10 states and in 20 counties. So these projects are big, and I'm not even talking about IFAD. Okay. So there is impact.
But now, with all these supports, World Bank, African Development Bank, and so many states are being covered, why are we still fully insecure?
Because they are minimal. All this support, because now you hear 50 million or 100 million. And for someone who is not familiar with agriculture, agriculture development, the challenges, the infrastructure, all these things, they think that this is not enough. So, yes, it is like a drop in the
now,
ocean.
Let's take the 46.2 million US dollar grant. Don't you think it's enough to really change in terms of food security in one state, for example?
Yes, but
and people are not seeing the farmland.
But this one does not happen in one state.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have 46 million, it is across 4, 5, 6 states. And by the way, I'm counting, this is not even the counties.
Yeah.
So sometimes the counties can be 10, can be 9. So now this thing will be spread out thin.
Okay.
So the impact that I see, it is more individual groups than it is big. But of course, the impact that we want to see as the Minister of Agriculture is, yes, we want to see a big farmland that is cultivated and that is harvested. But this one is going to take some time.
And who accounts for this money? Because you are not in charge. Your role as a government is only to supervise and monitor, and also maybe in the design of the, who accounts for
you
this
know
money?
What we do is we come up with implementing unit. Normally we call it the project PIU, project implementing unit. And normally we try to hire a specialist, for example, procurement specialist, finance specialist, and then they will handle the funds. And there's a lot of processes and protocols that goes on in releasing these funds to be to the implementing partner of from the World Bank or from the African Development Bank. And there's a lot of auditing that goes on.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of visits that go on in the States, a lot of missions. So it's not, there's a lot of protocols and processes that are in place to make sure that these funds are released for the right cost and they are utilized in the right cost. So far, all the funds, I can say for sure, have gone through implementation of these projects in the grassroots areas.
And early this year, during the cluster meeting that was chaired by the Vice President, Dr. Bolmel, I'm sure you are part of it, it was announced that there was a planned agricultural conference to be held here in Juba.
Yes.
And even in that same meeting, it was also announced that each state is supposed to allocate 250,000 acres of land thereabout for by each state for them to begin agriculture. Where are we with this huge, ambitious project?
Let me talk about the land, the agriculture land.
Yeah.
The agriculture land has been part of the policy of the Minister of Agriculture for long, where we want to encourage states to gazette agricultural lands in their states, not necessarily in one location, but especially these counties where you have a lot of agricultural activities going on. So we thought for development purposes, for policy purposes, it's important for each state to avail that land. So this one was announced. It coincided with the announcement for the agriculture conference. The agriculture conference, yes, it was announced during the economic cluster meeting, and it is still going on. It will happen. But what we saw was that since all the farmers are now in the farms farming.
Busy.
Mm. So whom are we going to call and talk to? I don't think. So we thought, let us use this time to prepare, as we prepare together, because even most of the of our partners that will be part of the conference also are in the field. The Minister of Agriculture itself is in the field. Mm-hmm. So now, as we are now about, I mean, the farming season is almost ending, then yes, we will revisit and the preparations will be done, and then the date will be announced so that we have a more meaningful conference where we can really talk about the challenges that we face during the
farming
season.
What were you supposed to discuss during this conference?
Many things. We are supposed to discuss the challenges that we are facing in agriculture, where the world is now, what are we doing about climate change, what are we doing about climate-smart agriculture. We want to talk about seeds and improved seeds. We want to talk about extension services, and most importantly, we want to talk about investment and funding. How do we encourage banks to give more to farmers? You know, we talked about agriculture bank, but it's not agriculture bank alone that is supposed to be giving loans to farmers and farming activities. But there's a lot of risk attached to that. That's what we want to talk with the financial institutions, to talk about de-risking issues. And most importantly, tell investors that South Sudan is ready for investment in the agriculture, and bring all our partners together, all our partners that fund the agriculture projects, but also all the partners that are in the area of agriculture, so that we consolidate all these efforts and have a real development in the sector.
Right. If you have just joined us right now, you're listening to Nationwide First Hour Discussion with me, Sunny Martin. And today we are discussing efforts by the government to boost food security in the country. And in the studio, I have Honorable Lila Albina Cole, who is the Deputy Minister of Agriculture and Food Security. And if you have any question, please, you can call us on 091-206-7879. Or 091-206-7929 or 091-201-101. Send us also your comment to our SMS number 091-2177-141. Before our lines are open, Honorable, tell us more about the Awil Rice Scheme.
Yes, the Awil Rice Scheme, as you know, is a very old national scheme. And now, among all our national schemes that were gazetted long time ago and that were functioning and working, we have two schemes that are partially now working. That is the Rangdura scheme in Upper Nile and the Awil Rice scheme. Mm-hmm. Awil Rice scheme is about 11,000 fadans. It's
11,000.
It's a very big land. What under the African Development Bank, BREFONS project, Awil Rice scheme was earmarked to receive some of the funds. And so they received about 4 million, again, Minister of Agriculture and Food Security together with FAO. We started the design and the implementation of the for the rehabilitation of the Awil Rice scheme. So now, in the past 3 to 4 years, we were able to rehabilitate 4 basins. Basin 7, 8, 9, and Basin 15. These were like traditionally the basins where farming was taking place.
Yeah.
Well, we also rehabilitated about 26-kilometer road within the scheme. We erected boreholes with erected water tanks.
Yeah.
We also built a seeds store with a very big capacity, a rice lab, and there's also a demonstration farm. Many things happen, which is good. Now, as a government, what we did when we realized that the process or the progress of rehabilitation is going well, we took the tractors to the rice scheme. Now in phase two, under the CRAFT, again, African Development Bank, it's a huge project, but part of it, about 11 million, will also go towards the rehabilitation of the RISE scheme. And this time, the rehabilitation will focus on the infrastructure, the irrigation infrastructure, mm-hmm. which is a huge plus. So we are hoping that in the next 2 to 3 years, we will see a big change in terms of rice production and in terms of changing livelihoods in that area.
Right. Yes, our lines are now open. You can call us on 091-206-7879 or 091-206-7929.
Antum tastabi'una ila Radio Miraya, Sawtu Salam.
Nationwide, we bring you latest current issues, discussions and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Hello, Radio Miraya.
Hello. Yes, good evening, Martin, and greeting to honorable in the studio.
Good evening to you.
Yes, this is Tamu Gulet.
Okay, from Malakal?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
I have three questions, and these three questions are going direct to the ministry, not the government, because this time round we are going after individual ministry, mm-hmm. not a blanket of government. So my first question is this: why are the development partners like World Bank and African Development Bank not trusting the Ministry of Agriculture and Food Security with money? Why? That's the second question is that, what are you doing as the leadership of the ministry to rectify the loopholes that the development partners have identified to be the reason that you are not able to implement these projects directly? And the last question is, how much is the ministry contribution as the ministry concerned to this big project? Thank you.
Okay. Tango Juliet from Malakal. 091-206-7879 or 091-206-7929. We also have Anay William from Warab State. He's writing from Kwajok, and he says, I want to find out floods throughout the country have been destroying crops over the last 5 to 6 years, and the deputy minister cannot testify to that. And he want to find out, are there some crops which these people who lives in these flood-prone areas can embark on cultivating without it being destroyed by floods? That's from Anay William in Kwajok, in Warab State. Another one here is coming from Meridi, and says, I would like the Deputy Minister to talk about extension workers. How many do you have, and are you utilizing them so that they don't sit in the offices, but they should be visiting places? This is from no name, from Meridi rather. He did not write his name. Maybe we can begin with that. The question from Tango Juliet. Why are the partners... Yes, Tango Juliet from Malakal. Yes. Why are the partners not trusting the government or the Ministry of Agriculture with money?
Well, this is the question he should direct to the partners themselves, mm-hmm. you know. There has never been an instance where the Ministry of Agriculture can be pointed at as misusing funds.
Yeah.
It has never happened. However, there are issues of capacity and capacity building. That now we are talking about very seriously and very closely with our partners and our implementing partners, that it is high time for the Ministry of Agriculture to really take charge in most of these projects. This one is happening, gradually, and we have come a long way, even for us to discuss in the design and to be very instrumental in implementation and overseeing and having a say. For me, this is something that it is a plus. So there are no loopholes per se. These funds, all these funds are negotiated by the Ministry of Finance, by the way. our National Ministry of Finance. Yeah. So, and you know, the banks, be it African Development Bank or World Bank, they offer funds through many mechanisms, either direct grants. Sometimes there's a counter funding where the government is putting in something and the bank is putting in something.
Right.
So all these projects you'll find is either grants or counter funding. And this is where we come in as the government to make sure that all these funds are utilized well and that the project is implemented well. That's what I can.
Okay, so that means there's nothing to rectify these loopholes. There's no loophole.
There is no loophole as much as it is just issues of capacity building and making sure that we are up to the task when it comes to financial management that are up to what the partners see as the best practices
Does it mean that the ministry have no capacity to manage this huge fund?
Well, as far as we are concerned, we have capacity.
Okay.
Of course, we do.
All right.
Now we have that capacity. Yes.
Now, how much is the ministry contributing? And also, maybe to add to Tango Julius' question, the country is operating without a budget at the moment now because we have not seen. How is it impacting your ministry?
Well, our ministry, as all the other institutions, yes, we share in the burden. You know that there are shortages here and there, and we do share in the burden. The government tries its best to at least be able to provide some inputs. But as I said, these inputs, are we able to cover all the farming population in the country? No, we are not at this moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anel is asking about these places which is prone to floods.
Yes, you know, the question of Anel is very important. You know, agriculture is science.
Mm.
And there's a lot of research taking place now. And people are talking about improved seeds, flood-resistant seeds, drought-resistant seeds. Luckily, under this craft, we are putting a lot of emphasis on research. And our research department with research institutions from the region that are contracted, we are looking at best variety of seeds that can be availed to farmers soon. Also, under these projects, by the way, we have weather stations. I forgot to mention that.
Yeah.
In about 4 or 5 states that are, you know, because our farmers are traditional. They follow the traditional calendar of rains. Now we want to be able to tell them no. And this is where extension services come in.
Yeah.
A lot of training to convince someone, don't farm at this time, farm at this time, and don't use this seed. That's it. Our hope is to be able to roll out extension workers as much as we can. But of course, now the challenges are there. What we try to do again as a ministry is also try to reach using radio. We have a program on radio extension, very simple terms, very simple Arabic for our farmers to understand. We also to have a slot, I think, on our national TV from time to time about extension services. But our hope is to work closely with county agriculture developments at the county levels so that we are able to reach as many farmers as possible.
Okay. And Yai Yak from Makwach Care is saying, why do we only have 2 schemes in the country, yet we have enough land?
We don't have 2 schemes. We have many schemes.
Mm.
We have many schemes. But out of the many schemes that we have, it's only these 2 schemes that have been working. They are not even fully working, just partially working.
Mm.
It's the Rang Dura scheme and the Awurise scheme. But we have Jabal Lado here in Central Equatoria. We have Lafon. We have Anzara. We have many schemes that during those days, but now our hope as a ministry is to be able to rehabilitate. We have Malud sugar scheme. We have many schemes, you know. These are our national schemes from back then. Our hope is to be able to rehabilitate each and every one of them and even make studies to come up with more schemes. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, because of the long years of war, you know, these schemes go back to the 1930s, 1940s, and they were at their prime in the 1970s. And then when the war erupted, most of these, the work stopped, and most of the infrastructure was unfortunately vandalized.
Okay. And we have seen many of your staffs have been traveling to participate in regional meetings in Nairobi and in Rwanda, in Dar es Salaam. How is the ministry benefiting from these regional setups?
You know, we are part and parcel of the world, you see, and of all these organizations. First of all, we are part of UN. And it is at UN level that all the policies now that happen that are then tailored and customized to fit each and every country. So, yes, people are there. We are part of the African Union. And African Union has a very huge project for agriculture development, the CADEP, you know. And then also the East African Community, FAO, our main partner, you know. This is where also most of the agricultural policies, strategies, all these things happen. So, yes, these things have a huge impact on the ministry, on our work in the ministry.
Are there some project right now on the pipeline which the ministry is focusing on in the country? Projects that are supposed to be implemented in the coming days or months or before the end of the year, leading us to next year?
Yes, we have. You mean the projects that, as a ministry,
yes, or any project in the ministry,
or the projects that we are doing together now with our partners?
Yeah, with
all
partners.
Of them have a huge focus with us for us in the ministry. The CRAFT is a very important project. RALP is a very important project. REED, the Rural Enterprise Agriculture Development, that's through the Agriculture Fund. Through IFAD, Agriculture Fund for International Fund for Agriculture Development. This is another big project that is now underway. We are putting a lot of emphasis on it, and this is also counterfunding. The government of South Sudan is also putting in some funds for the realization of this project. So all these projects that we see, that all of them seem to be donor-funded, you will be surprised to know at the end of the day that there's a contribution from the government of South Sudan towards them.
Okay, as we conclude, Honorable Deputy Minister, what are some of the key main challenges facing agriculture in South Sudan?
Infrastructure. Infrastructural development is one of them. Issues of climate change, we have talked about that. It is one of them. Issues of the fact that most of our farmers are still doing subsistence farming. Lack of research, lack of knowledge. These are the major challenges now in the agriculture. And of course, lack of improved inputs all across the agriculture sector is a big challenge.
And what will it take the people of South Sudan, the government and the partners to ensure that the people of South Sudan are food secure so that we don't always depend on handouts? And the figures we are getting all the time of 7.7 million will disappear.
Yes, I don't agree that it disappeared. There's a huge impact that these figures are doing to our people. If you don't see it, then this is something different. But you cannot underestimate the impact of these funds and what they are doing. There's a lot of work that is going on, but the challenges are enormous. They supersede the little that you see. And as I mentioned before, all these things are away too much that it doesn't matter how much you do, it's still very, very minimal. So it takes us to have consolidated efforts as government and as partners to put in, to put the correct things in place, to talk about infrastructure, to talk about training, extension services, have banks that are ready to take the risk and loan our farmers some money so that they embark on farming activities. We help things like research, it is our role in the ministry, plant protection, all these things. Yes.
Honorable Lila Binakol, we thank you so much for your time this evening. We hope to talk to you some other time. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much for having me.